Lamentation chapter 3, verse 19. Remembering mine affliction and misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Hallelujah. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I want to simply share this thought. Great is thy faithfulness. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is the faithfulness of the Lord. It was the prophet that was calling to his mind the remembrance. In verse 20, he says, my soul hath them still in remembrance. He said in verse 21, I recall to my mind. Something that has to do with the memory of reflecting and looking back at what we have faced and what we go through. And it is good for us to reflect upon where God has brought us from. It is good for us to testify in the midst of the congregation and share the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you. If we begin to reflect upon where we have come from, our hearts will begin to be stirred. Our minds will begin to be enlightened to know that our God is a God that is faithful. Even when we have been unfaithful to him, his compassions, the Bible says, fail not. Aren't you glad tonight that when he looks upon you, he has compassion? He's moved with compassion and he looks at you realizing that you are just but a fallen creature. If it was not for the goodness of God, hallelujah, if it was not for the love of God that reached down to us as sinners and pulled us up out of a life of sin and iniquity and shame, where would we be tonight without Jesus? Tell me the story over and over again. I love to hear the story. I love to hear the testimonies of where God has brought all of his people. Amen. I love to hear about where God has delivered those people that have gone through much sorrow, much heartache, much pain, come out of a life of debauchery and sin and a low life of living of drugs and alcohol. Some may have come out of different things. Whatever the story may be, can I tell you, if it had not been for Jesus, where would we be? Maybe you need to reflect back on where you came from tonight and begin to say, thank you, Lord, that you loved me when I was unlovable. Thank you, Lord, when I was rebellious and when I was kicking against, amen, your spirit that was dealing with my heart. And I said, oh, I'll just serve God when I'm ready. Aren't you glad that Jesus was long-suffering? As I begin to share this with you, I need you to reflect back in your mind before you were saved and where you were without the Lord. It is of the Lord's mercies, verse 22, that we are not consumed, because his what? Compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. If there was one man in the Bible, and I oftentimes reflect upon the life of the Apostle Paul because of all that the Lord had brought him out of. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, where he gives the testimony about the thorn in the flesh. And unless I should be exalted, 2 Corinthians 12:7, above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a what? Thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. In verse 8, he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in what? In weakness. And he says here, through all this suffering and struggle, most gladly therefore, he is glad therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities. What kind of language is Paul talking about? That things that cause us to suffer and have much pain and struggle in life, how can we look at these things as being good for us? The only interest that God has in us is that we would bear His image and His likeness in this earth to a lost and dying world. That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. It's been the plan from the beginning that God would have a people here on this earth that would bear His image and His likeness and understand that we are the light of the world. And let our light so shine before men that they may what? See your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God doesn't get any glory when we walk around murmuring and complaining all the time. God doesn't get any glory when we come into church with our lip hanging so low that people can tell that you've got a bad day and you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, we've all got our thorn to bear. We've all got our struggles. We've all got our burdens to bear. If you'll begin to lift up your voice and give glory to God in the highest, you will start to feel better about praise and glorifying God despite what you are going through. Sometimes we've got to make a sacrifice of praise to God. That means you've got to put some effort into it even when you don't feel like serving and praising God. You will show true maturity in Christ when you can say, I most gladly am thankful that I have suffered for the gospel's sake, that I have been despised and rejected. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my, what? In my infirmities. What is Paul thinking? Is he crazy? He says, in what? Persecutions? He's glad to go. Amen. We're comfortable in the United States. We got comfortable Christianity. We love to feel good and we're a nation of pleasure. But can I tell you, our pleasure has been our demise. Our comfort has not taught us anything but to be lazy and apathetic. Hardship is designed to bring you and connect you with God. We think we know God, but we live in a generation that only wants to know Him in the power of His resurrection and the happy, good feelings that God can give us. But nobody in this generation really wants to understand and know Him like Paul said, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. There's got to be the balance that keeps your Christianity in proper perspective, that there is going to be some good times. There's going to be some times where we shout and give glory to God in the highest. There's going to be times where we dance and we see God blessing our life with good health and prosperity and finances, and our children are doing well and everything's going good. But then all to once God says, I've got to take you aside into a valley experience. I've got to pull you into a place where I can begin to teach you that you can really get to know me, not just in the power of my resurrection, but in the fellowship of suffering with me. There's a time of suffering, I believe, that's coming to the church. And it's going to be designed to make the church draw closer to God. Remember, this Laodicean church age is the one that he describes as having nothing good to say about them. You read in the book of Revelation where he says, I'm standing outside the church door and knocking. They are far from God. They are separated from him. He says, but I'm looking for an individual to open up and I will come in. The large majority of Christians today only want to know God as the loving and merciful and kind God. And He is all of those things. And we never want to look at God as just a God of doom and gloom and judgment. But there is a balance with God that we must understand. There is a God that shows great love and mercy and compassion to His people. But also there is a God that will allow His people to be led into a wilderness experience, be led into a dark, deep valley experience, where you go through a period in your life where you will have to suffer not only physically, maybe financially, and maybe even mentally, to the point where you are confused. But if you get the Word of God in your heart and understand that this is necessary in the process of maturing us as a believer. I heard one preacher say that in my affliction I hear God clearly, but it is my carnal nature to rebel. But affliction gets our attention and it opens up our ears. Part of being trained is being disciplined. We wonder why we have to suffer, because we're not getting the lesson and we're not listening and obeying. Our afflictions should teach us to see the love of God, His long-suffering and the compassion of God towards us. That He does not leave us alone in our affliction, but He is there with us, because He, speaking of Christ, also experienced what it is to be afflicted when He was here on this earth for the 33 and a half years. He also experienced what it is to be afflicted, and to show that He is faithful even when we are not faithful to Him. Isaiah 53:3. That we should all know, He is despised and rejected of men. He is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. We didn't even want to be associated with Him. Cursed is the man that is hung upon a tree. I don't even know the man, Peter said. I don't even know who he is. Time is coming very soon where it's not going to be popular to be a Christian. It's not going to be popular to be a true born again Christian. But can I tell you what happened to the church in Rome under persecution? Is it began to purify them. It began to make them stronger. It began to wean out the false. It began to truly reveal those that would deny Him and would not deny. Oh, listen to me. There is a time coming shortly when persecution and judgment comes to the house of God. And you might not feel God the way I'm feeling Him right now, but I'm here to tell you, as the pastor of the church, that there is a time coming before us that it is not going to be popular to confess the name of Jesus. But I read in my Bible, if you will not confess Him before man, He will not confess you before His Father which is in heaven. We have a high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Why? Because He Himself knows what it is to bear the sin and the suffering and the grief of all of humanity, and took it upon His shoulders. In verse 4 of Isaiah 53, surely, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He knows about your struggle. He knows all that we're facing and going through. He knows what it is to suffer. But can I tell you, this is how much He loved us, that He was willing to die upon an old rugged cross. Verse 5 says, but He was what? Wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our what? Iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. I want you to understand that He has compassion on us. And we should also learn the lesson of having compassion on others that are suffering. The life of Christianity is a life of self-denial. It's not about you, it's about them. It's about the lost. It's about the hurting, and it's about us having the right spirit and attitude when we look at the sinner man, when we look at the backslider, when we look at the apostate, when we look at the drug addict, when we look at the prostitute, when we look at that drunkard, when we look at the heroin addict, when we look at them, are we moved with compassion, realizing that they need a Savior? we'll take time to look at people through the eyes of God, we will look at them in a different light. I'm willing that none should perish. If we really, really begin to think of the reality that some people that we know and some of our own family members are going to hell, we're so self-centered, we have no true burden for the lost. That's why the church is dying spiritually. That's why you got to pump them up with 5-6 songs before you can get folks to raise their hand. Because listen, we've lost the joy of His salvation. And if we really get a true revelation of understanding of where He brought us from, amen, I want to tell you that I'm glad that I'm redeemed, that I'm saved, that I'm not on my way to a Christless eternity, on my way to the pits of hell where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why do I get excited? Why do I preach with fervency? Why do I have a love for my Savior? Because he that has been forgiven of much will love much. And I know He's requiring of many of us that have been forgiven of so much that He's going to require us, brothers and sisters. Well, on that great day, He's going to say, why did you not reach out with compassion to the lost sinners that you were able to reach? Somebody that needs Christ. I'm talking about compassion for the lost. Our afflictions, our suffering, our pain will bring us to a place where we will have compassion on the needs of others. And we will not think of ourselves, but we'll think of the needs of others first. That's what Paul's whole missionary journey was in his work. He says, I haven't come for my benefit. I've come for you, that you may have a hope in Christ. Because listen, that is the only hope that any of us have here on this earth, is Christ in us, the hope of glory. The good news is that through all that God teaches us, through our suffering, He also is the one that delivers us. He also is the one that heals us. He also is the one that when we wait patiently, Lamentations said, it is good that a man should both what? Hope and quietly wait for the salvation of his God. Why would they throw that word in there, quietly wait? Because we tend to complain. We tend to murmur. I'm teaching you to quietly wait. He makes all things beautiful in what? Your time, His timetable. If God was to answer your prayers and the things that you've been asking for when you wanted them, some of us wouldn't be serving God today. You know, some of the things that we've prayed for, we ought to be thankful God never answered those prayers. What if God would have answered Paul's prayer and took that thorn, that messenger of Satan that buffeted him? Why would Paul even speak of his faith possibly being shipwrecked and that he'd become a castaway? Because listen, there were men falling around and forsaking Christ, amen, all the time. But there was something about that thorn that kept Paul dependent upon God. God sometimes will allow our afflictions to stay permanently. I'm not saying He's not going to heal you. You take that up with Him. But I can see some people have to suffer for a lot longer. Why is it that some get healed and some don't? See, God knows all of our hearts so well that He knows what you need. What do you mean? There's some of us have physical problems. And you know the only thing that's going to heal you is God. Some of us are too far gone for the doctors to help us. But I want you to remember this, Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Stop right there and just chew on that for a moment. Just meditate on that. If you think that we're going to go through this Christian life without problems, heartache, pain, and suffering, you should have never got in the army of the Lord. When we chose the cross, the songwriter wrote, you chose the way of suffering. He never promised that the cross would what? Not get heavy. And He did never promise that that hill, that road that you got to climb would not get hard. But He did promise this, hallelujah, that He would be faithful. Every morning He would be faithful. And when He would see you struggling, He would say, I am moved by the feelings of your suffering because I also carried that grief. I bore those griefs. I carried those sorrows. I went through what you went through when I was here on the earth. I am a high priest that can be touched and have compassion on the feelings of others because I have been there. Have you ever had somebody talk to you and say, oh, I know what you're going through, but you just don't really feel that they really know what you're going through? Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. See, we oftentimes associate suffering with sin, which is not always true. I've seen a lot of good men and women of God that are suffering. And the first thing we think of is, oh, they've been disobedient or they're being chastened. Can I tell you there's righteous, good people that are suffering and it's not because of sin? They're going through some lessons that they have to learn. They're learning some lessons. And the only way that God can teach us some things is through affliction. The second half of that verse, many are the afflictions of the righteous, the people of God, but the Lord delivereth him out of them. What? I like that. I like when the Lord says, every one of the things that you're going through, I am the one. I am your healer. I am your counselor. I am your peace. I like that poster of all the names of God. Most of all, he's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He is the one that sticketh closer than a brother. He is the great physician. Amen. If you need healing, how many can testify and say he is a healer? How many can say when things have gotten tight financially, he is a way maker? He makes a way when there seems to be no way. Amen. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth. He is a deliverer. Amen. And he will deliver in the time when he has ordained it. He will heal when it's time for him to heal. Our responsibility when we're facing all that we're facing is to keep a good spirit. Keep an ear open to the voice of God as he teaches us, speaks to us, and ministers to us through all that we're going through. And can I tell you, when we learn the lesson, the trial goes by a lot quicker. When we just humble ourselves under the almighty hand of God and say, God, whatever you're trying to show me, whatever you're trying to teach me, I'm here, Lord. I'm listening and I want to obey. What do you want me to do? What is the lesson you want me to learn? And the sooner you submit, saying, Lord, not my will. See, that's the struggle of all of us, wanting to do our will or the will of God. But when you can submit and put your trust in God, that even though he's got to bring you through some dark valleys and some hard places in life, where there's heartache and pain and suffering, and you feel all alone, you can understand that he is with you. And though you may have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, like David shared in that 23rd Psalm, I shall fear no evil because thou art with me. He'll comfort you. He'll give you peace through it all.